Freddie P., CanadianThinker.com. He's on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas.
How are we today?
Very good.
Looking at CanadianThinker.com, Fred, it seems that Wade Belak might have much in common now with Michael Hutchinson and David Carradine.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you have to sort of tread carefully through this story. But when several hockey insiders, most notably PJ Stock, who does, you know, those bits, those hits on Hockey Night in Canada, alludes to the fact that this death was not a suicide, but he did die of strangulation, and it was an accident, there's this huge leap towards a phenomenon, I'm sure you've heard about it, called...
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation. Now, you know, the whole issue is, should we go here? Should we talk about it? I think so, because when Belak first died, the media just went absolutely nut bar on trying to connect being a tough guy in the NHL to suicide and depression and mental illness. And, I mean, to my mind, it was right over the top. Like, it was such a stretch in some cases, I really found it nauseating, and I found myself turning the radio off a couple of times because there just really seemed to be a desperate attempt to make that link. Well, now it turns out, and you know, let's get back to his parents as well. Even they have admitted this was not a suicide, this was an accident. But the rest of us have been left to fill in the blanks now. And my question would be, when the media was so hot and heavy to analyze that, the other side of it, why has everybody just shut this story down and gone quiet now?
I would think just because we've had this instance of head injuries and it's one of the big topics of conversation in the NFL and the NHL, and this may have just been another tragic warning of what can happen if you get your bell rung too many times. And then when you find out that it's this, it's one man and it's something that he... whether he's done it before or whatever, did in his own home, and it's not necessarily as big of a story as it is if he were to have died from a brain injury caused by playing a sport that thousands of people play.
Right, but then my next question would be, why does this compassion not apply to politicians, actors, singers, other people who have been involved in this or similar things that, you know, a lot of people receive as distasteful, yet there's no hesitation to discuss it.
It is interesting, Fred.
My point is, it just seems the sports fraternity is a little more closed to a situation like this. I get the impression a lot of guys just don't know how to deal with it. And I'm not saying go crazy, but maybe there should be a little bit of closure on this thing.
Well, I think you're onto something, Fred. You know, in my brief time working in sports radio, when I was at the Fan, there is a certain respect level for athletes that comes from, I think, sports journalists and radio guys or print guys. They do put them on a real pedestal, and they're very guarded about a lot of this stuff. And for the most part, to be honest with you, a lot of them don't have much of a sense of humor about sports or about about the people that play it. So whenever there's anything that is maybe a little risque, and this obviously would fall into that category, they get incredibly nervous about speaking about it. They don't want to go there. They don't want to have to, because they just want to focus on the game. And there's not a lot of the guys, and I can't think of too many, that like to talk about athletes as people and more than just their scores and their stats.
Well, I know, because a lot of sportscasters, and I lived that life for a long time, they think they think athletes are bigger than life, are almost better than them, of a different status. Of course, I never felt that way. In fact, that's part of the reason I wanted to get out of it. But as I say in CanadianThinker.com, it's interesting, when they thought it was a psychological phenomenon, they went crazy talking about it. Mind-numbing analysis on the subject, when it turns out to be maybe a sexual phenomenon, everybody goes quiet. And remember, we're in a whole new era now with the internet and a lot of Belak's friends coming out and saying what they have and leaving the public to connect the dots. I'll tell you, there's a huge buzz about this. I mean, where I was on the weekend, it's all people wanted to talk about. Yesterday, it's all people were talking about. So, yeah, it's a big story. And do people have the right to know? I guess not, but people have the desire to know, and you'd think somewhere down the line somebody might feed that or address it.
Well, I think one thing that has to be done is this death has to be separated from the ones that are of head injuries and are of suicides because of depression or whatever reason it is. However, that's explained to the general public, because Wade Belak, from what everybody had kind of put together, was the third of three guys in the offseason, tough guys that had lost their lives, and you connect the depression and such. But I know from the other side of things that a lot of sports reporters and people that cover teams in general, the locker room and the clubhouse is a very special place for a lot of players and reporters and such, and reporters do tend to fall into that. They want to be buddies with these guys, and they want to, you know, and have these players acknowledge them when they go out and hang out with them when they're on the road and stuff. And for a reporter to come out and explain something that is obviously quite secretive in Wade's life, that almost makes him an outcast to the industry.
I guess. And, you know, and I'm not disputing that the analysis on the other side wasn't warranted. It was. To me, it just went overboard. And let's be perfectly clear about this. I mean, we have no more proof at this point that it was autoerotic asphyxiation. We don't have no more proof about that than we do that anybody who was a fighter in the NHL and took a couple of punches into the head, that's why they committed suicide. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's no real set connection. My point is, it would be a lot easier to prove this if people would just come out and give the real story than it would be proving the other. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Well, and you know what, Fred?
And that's my point. This is cut and dry. I mean, there could be closure on this. Yeah, is it embarrassing? Of course it is, for the family and everything. But remember, it was his parents that come out and said they don't even think he was really that depressed. Maybe mildly depressed.
Well, no, there's all the stories.
And it was
out.
An accident.
He was out with his
friends.
Come
on, let's finish the story.
Well, yeah. That's right. And he was out with his friends. He was tweeting jokes.
He had an off-season job coming up. He was going to do radio stuff for the Nashville Predators. So it wasn't as if he was going to be sitting at home doing nothing.
Well, I think, too, Fred, people, you know, this was from a radio standpoint or a print or television. Once he died, and the first thing was that he had died from depression and concussions, it's very easy for radio people to say, all right, we're going to fill the show now. We're going to get a doctor on the line. We're going to take calls about what the NHL should do about this. It's so cut and paste and an easy radio show to pull together. But when all of a sudden the guy dies from self-pleasure, now what do you do? Who are you getting on the line? Who are you going to talk to about this?
Yeah, but that's the point. There's lots of people you could get on the line.
Well, I know, but you see, it doesn't fit into that mold of sports radio, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
You guys probably this morning could, if you chose, have somebody, a doctor, that could speak to this phenomenon of autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, since this came out, I've read online about it, and it's amazing. Some of the people that practice this, how they put, you know, there's a little apparatus that they hook up so that, you know, when they lose consciousness, then it starts to unwind and they come back, right?
Right.
It doesn't finish the job, so to speak. Well, holy cow, are you kidding me?
It's a lot
of effort. You're that interested in having that moment of pleasure that you would take that chance?
It's
fascinating. And over 1,000 people a year in the United States, from what I've read, die of this.
Yeah, and for the common fellow, we look at it and go, well, you know, he was out with his buddies and having drinks, and obviously you get a little randy when you got some drinks in you.
I guess.
Back to your apartment. Why not just give her a tug and call it a night? What is?
Who knows? See,
what
that's
is all the effort.
A lot
we
of
don't
effort,
know.
Yeah.
We don't know absolutely for sure whether that happened. I mean, a lot of things are pointing that way, and it's interesting. Some of his friends, you know, are. It's almost like they want to talk about it, but just. They've reached a line and thought, oh, okay, you know what, I'm not going to be the one to confirm this. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I may have missed something, but I have been listening to a lot of sports radio over the past few days out of curiosity, and nobody, not only are they not talking about this, they're not even talking about the fact that it may not have been an accident, or may not have been a suicide.
Yeah,
they're not even addressing that end of it.
Yeah, no, it's been dropped pretty quick.
They just dropped completely. I don't even hear his name.
They just want it to go away. Yeah. It's just too embarrassing for most people in sports.
And you know, there, as I say, even on my blog, CanadianHinger.com, you know, there was one guy, a former sportscaster, national sportscaster in Canada, who now lives in England. You know. His question was, you know, what's served by dragging this guy's name through the mud when he had a beautiful wife and two kids? Well, you know what? I get that, but the problem is, I mean, you guys are in the spotlight. I used to be in the spotlight. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to play by a different set of rules. And speaking of rules, okay, why do these rules apply to a hockey player, but as I said previously, not to a politician or an actor or a singer? When these things happen, it becomes front page news.
Yeah, and we all make fun of the likes of Michael Hutchinson and David Carradine.
Yes.
All right, there you go, Fred. Always a pleasure. We'll do this again next week. CanadianThinker.com. Make it a regular stop on your internet travels.
Loving you.